need the Lord to help us today, that His Word will be a blessing to us. I've been thinking a little about some of the things we've been speaking of the last weeks. Last week we talked about chastening and the Lord's love in that. He said, the Word says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And, you know, we talked a little bit about how that His chastening, it's not obnoxious, it's not cruel, it's not degrading or abusive, but by His love and His mercy, the Lord pours out His chastening, doesn't He? And He gives correction, and that's what He's after. You know, we spoke of another of God's attributes of love a few weeks ago about His mercy, and that His mercy is everlasting to those that fear Him. And this morning, I feel like the Lord's been talking to us about another aspect of God's love to us, and that's His compassion toward us. And I want to look in a number of different scriptures. There's lots of scriptures. I was really surprised at how many places it portrays the Lord's compassion, but I just want to mention some that I feel like the Lord gave us to mention. In Mark 6 and 31... and 32, we see a little into Jesus' nature and who He was. You know, sometimes you get to be around people and you begin to know them, and they're different than you think they are. And sometimes you're disappointed, and sometimes you're very pleased by the person that you thought someone was really wasn't quite that way. And you know, with the Lord, I don't know what your perception of God has been or your perception of the Lord has been. A lot of times people have perceptions coming up in their mind, in their youth, and they may see God as a very austere, very hard taskmaster type of person. Well, there is an austere side of God to the wicked and to the unrighteous and to the disobedient sometimes. But, you know, I'm thinking this morning, the Lord has an aspect of Him, a part of His nature that is so wonderful to partake of. And when we find the Lord, I believe we're going to find Him to be this way toward those that fear Him. And so in Mark 6 and 31... it says, "And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." You know, this morning what had happened was a tragedy had happened. And John the Baptist, a man of God, a real man of God, somebody the Lord spoke through, somebody that was unfavored toward anybody by partiality, but just spoke the words that the Lord gave him to speak. Well, he got his head cut off for that. And he had told Herod that his relationship was wrong. And it made his wife so upset that John the Baptist lost his head over that. And you know, when you look at this, Jesus, when that word came to them, He told His disciples, He said, "Come here, let's come apart a little bit. Let's just get quiet together a little bit. Let's have a little bit of private time. And let's be quiet together into a quiet place." And you know, He recognized their need for comfort. And He saw what they were feeling. He knew that feelings of fear would probably grip them somewhat. He knew that disappointment and utter unbelief, disbelief would grip them. And so he said, I want you to come apart into a desert place. I want to look at a number of places where, and there's probably plenty more, but in John 11 and 34, we find Jesus here after Lazarus had died, and it was a really sad time for some of those that were following the Lord. It was a very difficult time. And when Jesus came, in verse 32, it says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know, Jesus felt their sorrow. Now, what is so amazing to me, and this story has always made me marvel for many years, because Jesus knew that he was fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead. He had already told some of his disciples, I'm going to raise him from the dead. But when he came here, even before he did that, he saw their weeping and he saw their sorrow. And it says here, Jesus, it says, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, come and see. And it says, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Why was he weeping? That always amazed me. Why would Jesus weep? He was fixing to raise this man from the dead. And he knew that because he felt what they felt. And because he felt the sorrow that these had taken. And he wept with them. Even though he was fixing to completely heal their sorrow here, he felt their sorrow and wept with them and cried with them. He was the God of heaven, and this is who he is. This is who he was. He felt their need, and it says he wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused this, that even this man should not have died? You know, this morning, Jesus, I believe, experienced many things. He experienced and was tempted. I want to read that scripture in a minute. In all points, like as we are. He felt all of those things. And there's a reason he felt those things. I believe God could have himself made himself know the extent of sorrow without experiencing anything. God's well capable of that. But I believe he learned those things as a man, partly so we would believe it too, and so we would know it. And when, let's look over in Hebrews 2 and 18, another scripture here. It says, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. You know what the word succour means? It's to aid or relieve. He's able to help. Or he's able to aid us as well. And able, that's the Greek definition of that word. Jesus, in that he himself was tempted. Verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know, Jesus walked where we walk. He stepped where we stepped. I believe God wanted him to experience all those things that we experience. And so he did. And we don't know all the things that was in Jesus' life now, but we know that Jesus lost. We know he suffered so much. Where was Joseph in Jesus' young life here? What happened? Jesus experienced grief, didn't he? And he experienced those things because he wanted to experience them, that he might be a faithful and a merciful high priest for us and that we could know that He knows what we're dealing with as well. And I believe He wanted us to know His feelings. And so we see Him in these different places. Hebrews 4 and 15 and 16, look at this. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling." With the feeling. Now, last week we talked a little bit about feelings. That when you chasten, you can't regard feelings too much. Because feelings will cause someone, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, sometimes we know we have to deal with facts, don't we? But you know when it comes to our feelings that God regards those too? It says here, we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Lord knows that we have feelings. He knows that we have infirmities, that we have weaknesses, that we wish we were stronger sometimes than we are in some ways. And I'm not talking about sinful ways. Sometimes, but you know what? The Lord, it says, He can be touched. That's what it's really saying. He can be touched with the feeling of our maladies and our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so He says, let us come boldly. Let us therefore, because of this, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that a consolation to us this morning? The Lord says, through inspiration, let's come boldly then unto the throne of grace. Sometimes we don't feel very bold, do we? Sometimes we feel in our weakness or our need. Lord, I know I should feel stronger than this. You know, the Lord, as long as our life is clean, He wants us to come boldly. Even if it isn't, I believe He wants us to come to Him in repentance. But the Lord wants us to come before Him boldly and without hesitation and come to the Lord to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. We all need this, don't we? We all have to have it. We've suffered a lot of things the last while, and I feel like the Lord gave me these thoughts. But you know, the Lord wants to comfort us, and He wants us to know that He suffered these things for us. He suffered these things for our sakes. Not for His sake. He suffered for our sake. God, in all of His amazing infiniteness, He could have understood all of those things finitely. He made our mind. He made our emotions. He made our feelings. All those things. He could have understood that. But He chose to come down here and walk the path that we walked. And feel the things that we feel. And to be tempted in all points like as we are tempted. You know, sometimes we don't think He was probably tempted in some way. He was tempted, it says, in all points like as we are. The Lord experienced that for our hope and for our benefit, folks, this morning. Lord, help us to take advantage of that. That word infirmities that we just read, in the Greek it says feebleness of body or mind. By implication, malady or moral frailty, disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness. It spans a broad span there, doesn't it? And the Lord understands. He was yet without sin, but you know that He even sees us. He even sees people that are taken by sin. And he knows the feeling of the temptation that people fall under in their lives. And He understands that too. He was never in sin. But He understands those things. And so He died for us. You know, in 1 Peter 3 and 8, it says here, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous." You know, the Lord wants us to experience some things too. And He wants us to be able to be compassionate toward one another. And he says, love as brethren. Love like brethren does. You know, you hear the term used, blood is thicker than water. Well, you know, it is true, too. You learn some things about blood between brothers and sisters. They can fight among themselves in a family, but don't try to get in the middle of them and try to separate those out, because it doesn't work, does it? He says, love us, brethren. Love one another. Let our compassions go to one another. Let the feelings that other people have, the feelings that God has, isn't that what he wants to infuse into us? Those things, those attributes of God, those things of his nature, doesn't he want us to add to our faith these things and to become partakers of the divine nature? That nature of God that sees people with compassion and sees people with love. He loved us enough that he came down here and died for us, didn't he? The Lord loved us like that. I wanted to read a song. You know, there's a warmth and a love that comes from one another that is so healing. When people know they're loved, you know, it can just heal so many ills. Even in our needs, and even in all of our, even when we make mistakes with each other, if we know that we're loved, you know what that means? The Lord wants us to communicate that to one another. He wants that divine nature of God to be added to our faith. That divine way that the Lord has to be added to us. And so he takes us through some things sometimes because he wants to add a gem to our life. And he wants us to use it for other people's good. But Sister Angela wrote a song, 509, We Need Each Other, Brethren. It says, in a world filled with violence and hatred, everywhere wars and turmoil we see, God's people face daily this struggle. And she said, only love will keep us free. We need each other, brethren, for only love will carry us through. Let us stand by each other, brethren. Take courage, be faithful and true. And I'm going to read maybe all the verses here. Oh, how sad to see some of our brethren as they strive for earth's pleasure and gold, become selfish and strive with each other. Love and kindness has quickly grown cold. Lord, give us true warmth and affection. When one fails, get rid of him. Help us. Let's see. When one fails, help us rescue his soul. He's not heavy, for he is my brother. Let us cry as we carry his load. Dear saints, let us vow to each other. I will help, I will comfort and pray. I will stand by your side and defend you in this battle you're facing today. We need each other, brethren, for only love will carry us through. Let us stand by each other, brethren. Take courage, be faithful and true. You know, we do need each other, don't we? I need your comfort, and you need mine. You know, we read the scriptures in John 11 and 35, where it says Jesus wept. And I was reading to try to understand that whole thing better. I've always wanted to understand it better. And I want to read a little of the commentary that was mentioned here. That talks about this. It shows the Lord Jesus as a friend, a tender friend, and evinces his character as a man. And from this we learn, and I'm going to skip parts of it for time's sake, one, that the most tender personal friendship is not inconsistent with the most pure religion. Piety binds stronger the ties of friendship, makes more tender the emotions of love, and seals and sanctifies the affections of friends. Two, and I'll just, the verse says, Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. 3, sorrow at the death of friends is not improper. It is right to weep. It is the expression of nature, and religion does not forbid or condemn it. All that religion does in the case is to temper and chasten our grief, to teach us to mourn with submission to God, to weep without complaining, and to seek to banish tears, not by hardening the heart or forgetting the friend, but by bringing the soul, made tender by grief, to receive the sweet influence of religion, and to find calmness and peace in the God of all consolation. You know, this morning, that just, when I saw that, that wasn't really my original thought, but I thought that was so good. The Lord wants us. He knows He made us like we are. He made the tear. And He knows sometimes it's good to cry the tear. In Matthew 9 and 36, I want to look at how Jesus dealt with people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, this is when He said this, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, the Lord knew that the world was full of needs. There was several thousand people gathered there. But He knew in Himself, this is just a little bit of what the whole world is about today. And He saw them as sheep going astray. And it says, and He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to put a little piece of that divine call of His, that divine nature of His, into us. And when He saw, when He looked out and He saw people for what they are, you ever look out and see people for who they are? Do you see the suffering of humanity all around you? Or are your eyes fixed on the glamour of somebody from Hollywood? I want to tell you something. The world is full of sorrow and trouble and sickness and disease and issues and people with all kinds of things chaining them to things they don't want to be chained to. It's the way it is in the world today. The Lord wants to put in something in us, a little piece of His nature. When He looked on them, He saw them. He looked on these multitudes, not with some kind of elated feeling as if they're following after Me, but He saw their need. And He said, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. You know, many times it is the need that God begins to work with our hearts, to call us to His work. And we see the need and we see people's souls, and the Lord begins to work in our hearts. And as we draw near to Him and we become part of who He is, and His divine nature is added to our life, what can it do? How can it not draw us to begin to see the needs of other people and be drawn to that and begin to help people in many ways? And what is the result of that? Then is that life become a life of bitter troubles? Oh, you get into a lot of bitter troubles with people and hear all of their needs. But I will tell you what the beauty of it is the blessing of watching how the Lord fed these people, how He blessed them, how He worked with them, how He saw that need, and then He filled that need. Oh, the Lord wants to do that with you and I today. You know, He didn't see them as if He was a rich king and disdained them and put them down. Look at all these people. Look who they are. Look at their silly troubles. Look at this guy over here and his troubles. He ought to know better. Jesus didn't do that, did He? He had compassion on these people. I want to, I'm going to come back to that scripture in a minute. Well, maybe we'll just move over to Mark 6. And I want to read the same, I believe this is the same story here, Mark 6 and 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Now here's the rest of the story. And he says here, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Now here's the desert place, Lord. send them away. We need to get rid of all these people, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, you know, this morning his disciples were kind of carnal about it. We've done our job. Now send them away. But you know what the Lord did? This was one of his greatest miracles, or a great miracle that he did. He fed them all, didn't he? Now he's the one that told them, come apart into a desert place. If you look on up there, it says that. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. That's what they were doing. Then they go into a desert place, and here's all the people with all their needs thronging him, following them. And the disciples want to just send them away. But the Lord's compassion sees their needs. And so it is today. The Lord sees the needs of people, and he doesn't send them away easily. He feeds those that have needs. And here's another place, the same thing. What was the context of these times that the Lord did these miracles and healed and fed all of these people? In Matthew 15 and 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You know, Jesus saw their need and he was moved with that. He said, I'm not going to send them away without something to eat. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. You know, I've heard it preached before about this very thing. So many times we see needs. We see we're right there. The Lord wants to fill needs. And we're saying, well, how's it going to happen, Lord? There isn't any way to make this happen. But Jesus said, well, what do you have? You know, they had almost nothing. 7 loaves and a few fishes. A few little fishes, it says. And that's all they had. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to fill us with his divine attributes. He wants us to add to the divine nature, to our faith, his divine nature. And he wants us to add these kind of things in our life. That when we see, we don't just say, Lord, there isn't anything. We already know there isn't anything. What do we have to give people? I'll tell you what we have. We have the Lord God. And he has everything. And so when we have needs, do we see our limitations? Or do we see the Lord? This morning, if we see our limitations, we will not feed very many. These disciples, the first time, would have just sent them away. And now the second time, they said, well, how are we going to feed them? There isn't any, that we don't have this kind of resources available. But you know, the Lord had a whole different mind, didn't he? And his disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness? Okay, moving down to 35, and he commanded the multitude, sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. And he gave thanks for what he had. You know, we are so prone in our little bit of compassion, in the things that we have to say, I'm limited, this is all I've got. Well, that's a good thing to know, because then it makes us trust in a God that has everything. And I believe he really wants us to believe him like that. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat. And were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? The 4,000 men, there's probably a lot more women and children with them than there was men. So there was a lot of people here. The Lord isn't staggered by the need. And I believe he wants us to say, Lord, just what do you want us to do? What do you want here? And not limit him by saying this is all we have. Matthew, Luke 19 and 41. These people, the Jews, were a rebellious people. They were wicked in some ways. And so they were going to crucify Jesus, and he knew it. And so when he came near the city, it says, and when he was come near and beheld the city and wept over it, and saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Do you know the Lord? He knew these people were rejecting their time of visitation. And one place, some of the disciples said, shall we call fire down on this place? And Jesus, perhaps that was the time when he said, you don't know what spirit you are of, I believe. But you know, the Lord sees these things. He knew these people were doing wrong. He knew they were going to have judgment upon them for what they were doing. But you know, he wept for them. He died for these people. And so we see, he could have said this a different way. He could have said, if you only knew what's coming your way. He could have said it a different way, but he wept when he said this because he did know. Have you ever dealt with somebody that you knew what was fixing to happen and they didn't realize it? You saw in their life, you've seen in so many lives, many times we see, don't we? We see ahead of time what's fixing to happen. Do we weep with them, or do we allow that anointing of God? Do we allow the compassions of his nature to work in us such that we weep and pray for them? Or do we throw stones at them and want to kill them and want to get rid of them? Get them out of here. Send them away. Get them out. The Lord wants us to weep for people. He wants us to weep for people that are doing against the will of God, and that we know God is going to judge. He wants our hearts to be broken as his was. Lord, help us this morning to recognize the compassion of the Father. And let it be a comfort to us. The Lord cares about our needs. He sees our ways. He sees our needs. There could be so many other scriptures. Maybe we'll have a few more here. But there's a song, number 180, that I love. It says, to know that he knows. When my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life. And let me tell you, if you've never felt that, you will. And the thought of the morrow alarms. With my care-laden heart, then I flee from the strife and I weep out my woes in his arms. If my best efforts fail, though my friends may reprove, when I sigh for their solace and tears and prayers, it will work for my good if my Savior I love. He assures me he knows and he cares. There's that compassion. Though in trial I suffer, he keeps me content, sees before me the dangers prepared, and in mercy his wisdom the flames may have sent, that my soul greater woe might be spared. Yes, my failures he knows, and my sighs and my tears, and the depth of my bitterest woes. By the deep consolation he gives, he brings for my fears, I am sure that my dear Savior knows. Just to know that he knows, that my Lord understands, and his look of compassion to see soothes the pain in my heart, is a balm for my wounds, bringing comfort and peace unto me. I don't know how many of us here have at different times in our life felt the deep consolation that the Spirit of God brings to our heart. But I want to tell you, if you have not experienced that this morning, the Lord wants your life to go a little closer to him. And in fact, he may want to take you through some things to give that to you, because it will endear you to the Lord in a way that nothing else can. And to feel the deep consolation he brings for my fears is an awesome thing this morning. I appreciate the Lord. In John 15 and 12 and 13, just a few more scriptures here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. With the same compassion, with the same words of comfort and strength, does the Lord keep everything from happening to us? No, he doesn't always do that, but I will tell you what he does do. He loves us in it. He commends to us his compassion and his love in so many ways. And this is my commandment, he says, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to put something in us that comes from God. And it is a comfort. It is a compassion. It's a love for one another that goes beyond just seeing somebody's need. The disciples, they just saw the need of all these people and they were ready. Here's a desert place. This is my place. Now, Lord, send them away. Get them. We need some time here. But the Lord still had compassion, didn't he? He had compassion on his disciples by saying, here, let's go away. But he couldn't not have compassion on all the others too when he saw their needs. The Lord saw all of that. You know, we read a few Sundays ago, Psalm 103 and 10 to 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? What a comfort to us today. What a comfort to us. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I will tell you, let's remember those words, that fear him. Because he doesn't promise all these things to those wicked people. Even though he wept for them, even though he does weep for them, even though he sends his spirit in so many ways to try to turn them back, he knows there's going to be a day of reckoning for people. But you know, we see here where his mercy, those that fear him, those that pray to Him. Those that seek the Lord, those that turn away from iniquity, His mercy is as great, it says, as the heaven is high above the earth. I want to read one in Psalms 103. I love this scripture too. 103:13. To 17, like as a father pitieth his children. You ever thought about how a father, you ever watched a real father, someone that loves their children? You ever seen them pity their children? They might correct them, but I will tell you, they love those children and they pity them. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Isn't that a blessing this morning? In 2 Corinthians 1, and 3. We've looked at a lot of scriptures this morning. I believe we've seen a little into the nature of the Lord, into who He is, into how He wants to comfort us, and how His heart is moved when we cry. And He sees our tears, and He sees our heart and our needs. And it says here, 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I just want to think about those little things this morning and remember that the Lord wants to comfort us. And then He longs for us to comfort others with the same thing that He has given to us today. I so appreciate the Lord. I don't understand all of His ways, folks. None of us will until we get there. But one thing I know, He is a God of great compassion. And His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting toward those that fear Him. And He loves us and He weeps with us. And He is there as in our stead, is He not? He is there before the Father presenting our case and our needs. And the Lord wants us to take comfort in that. And remember too, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know, this morning the compassions of the Lord says they fail not. And it's of His mercies that we're not consumed. Maybe we would have been consumed a long time ago, except for God's mercies. It's of His mercy that we haven't been consumed, because His compassions, they don't fail. He sees us where we are. He sees us in our needs. He sees us in our struggles. He sees us in our tears. He sees us in our desperation. And He weeps with us. And He's there. He wants us to come boldly to Him. He wants us to partake of that. And then you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to turn around and use it to help someone else that's in the same kind of situation we are. Lord, bless us all this morning. Amen.